Let's pray again. God, we come before you today with expectation. Speak to your people. Speak to our hearts. May we not leave here today the same as we entered in. And may your name be praised. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is near. God is near and God is here. Fight the good fight. It is my pleasure today to bring to you the end of Joshua. We have been fighting the good fight for almost a year. It's not that we haven't been fighting before, but we have been concentrating on this as our theme for this year. Fight the good fight. Serve the Lord. Joshua 24 is where we'll be looking. And of course, I knew that this would do this to me. Did you do that or did I do that? I did that. Oh. Oops, I think I've gone too far. Nope. As we read through this, I'm going to make a few points along the way that I want you to think about. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt." Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. There is a lot of talk about that word fear when it says to fear the Lord. Having looked into it, the fear I believe it's talking about is a reverence, an understanding of who God really is, an understanding of the length and the depth and the breadth of the power and the majesty and the strength of God. Fear and reverence. And the other thing in this verse that jumped out at me was and pardon me for being judgmental. After everything that they had seen, they still had the gods of Egypt. It said, put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. It staggered me that after seeing everything they had seen, they still had the gods of Egypt. They were still hedging their bets. And I sat there in judgment until I started to think about my own life. And having a long, hard look at my own life, I realized I am not in any position to judge, because I have my idols as well, as I'm sure if we think about it, we all do. Carrying on in verse 15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's an interesting slide. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. It struck me here that as they said, we will serve the Lord, they said, we will serve the Lord because of what he has done. And I thought, should we not serve the Lord for who he is rather than what he has done? But again, as I sat in judgment on these people, again, I looked at my own life and I thought, don't I do the same? Don't I serve the Lord in happiness when he does what I think he should? And do I not grumble and complain at him when he does things which I think are not in what's my best plan? Now, if you went up to somebody and said, serve the Lord, and they turned around and said, we also will serve the Lord, you would probably turn around and go, praise God. Am I right? Let's see what Joshua said. Oh. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Now, I met an evangelist once, and he said he had evangelist disease. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, it goes like this. You go to somebody and you say, do you want Jesus to be Lord of your life? And the person says, yes. And you go, are you sure? And the person says, yes. Are you really sure? You realize what this means, right? You realize that it's called evangelist disease, apparently. Here Joshua is saying to them, you will not be able to serve the Lord. Is this prophecy? Because we know that later, that is exactly what happened. And if we look down to verse 31, you'll see that it starts to intimate that it's going to happen, and not too long down the track. So they say, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice. So, Joshua, I've lost my place. So, Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us." Now note, this is the first time he uses the word "us." After they have made the covenant, he begins to speak and use the word "us." "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. I'd like to pause at this point and think of your own inheritance in Jesus. I don't want to say anything more than that, other than our own inheritance that we get through Jesus. Have we polluted it with idols? It came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of Mount Gash. And here it comes. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. I don't know whether we can draw this conclusion from this passage or not, other than the fact that we know what happens next. But that seems to say that while they remembered his deeds, they served. And when they forgot his deeds, they did not. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt at Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. And they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him at Gibeah of Phinehas his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim. A final end or a beginning? For Joshua, the end. For the Israelites, a beginning. Where are we today? Let's look at the first section, Joshua 24, 1 to 13. His promises, our victories. Joshua reviews the history of God's promises and finds that God is true to his word. Now, I couldn't help but compare this. In fact, compare this Joshua to the Joshua of Joshua 1. When you go back to chapter 1, God is saying to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage." Well, I'm telling you people, if you read chapter 24, here is Joshua, strong and of good courage. The journey has changed him. He is not the same as he was when he started. And let's remember that he started his journey by being in the presence of God, by being in the presence of Moses after Moses had been in the presence of God. He started his journey hungry for God, and he finishes his journey still hungry for God. We can learn from this. How often do we look back over our lives and count our blessings and give thanks to the one true God? How often do we do this? I confess I do not do it often enough. A message I want to give to some of you today, as I was praying about this, I felt that there are people here today who feel like, I sin and I sin and I sin. And I turn from God, and I turn from God, and I turn from God. Well, I want to give you a visual picture. It may feel like this. You're walking for God. Ah, I've sinned again. And you turn and come back. You may feel like you're staying in one place. You may feel like you're not actually getting anywhere at all. You may feel like it's walk with God. Ah, I've sinned again. But I need you to know this. God needs you to know this. That every time you take a step, if you learn something, you are not in the same place that you started. You have moved on. There may be habitual sins which you're trying to deal with in your life. There may be things that you are having trouble with. Get help. Get prayer from people you can trust. Life groups are a good place to start. But remember, the devil will try to tell you that every time you sin, you're not making any progress at all. But if you learn something, then just like Joshua, the journey will change you. You will not end up staying in the same place. You will make progress. You will move from one place to another. You will learn things. You will become stronger in Him. And you will overcome. Let's count our blessings and give thanks to the one true God. In the second section, Joshua 24, 14 to 28, Joshua calls them to choose. Now we must choose, because if we do not choose, we are a slave. And God does not want slaves. He wants sons and daughters. Now, I'm not talking about the choice to follow Jesus here. I'm talking about the choice to serve after we have given our heart to Him. It's a daily choice. Not even just a daily choice. It's an hourly choice. It's a choice we have to make minute by minute throughout the day. You have to choose, or else you only serve with your hands, not with your whole heart. God will not force us to serve. But the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross demands no less than our total surrender. His gift to us was free. But I believe that if we know that, then His love compels us to carry on the fight in His name. And I also believe that if our actions do not match our belief, something somewhere is seriously wrong and needs to be corrected. This is the core of the fight we face every day. Do my actions match my belief? You see, His kingdom come must meet in its corollary of our kingdom go. His kingdom come, our kingdom go. God's actions and character towards Israel and towards us create reverential fear if we dwell on them. God's actions and character move us to serve His mission. God's actions and character demand that we commit from the depths of our heart in sincerity and truth by the choices we make each day. God's action and character move us to stand for Him as Joshua did, even if no one else is willing to stand with us in the fight. Praise God that we don't stand alone today. Can I get an amen? Look around you, people. Look at the fellow sons and daughters of God that are sitting with you right now. Find a new one today that you haven't spoken to before. Let's be stronger together. We can learn a lot from the study of Joshua. Joshua had learned as an apprentice to Moses. He did not despise the servant's role. He did not jump to the fore. He was happy in the servant's role. Joshua had served during times of great trial, such as when he and Caleb, alone of the spies, had believed that God was greater than the giants they faced. That can't have been easy for him. Joshua had served in times of great battles, such as Beth Horon. Joshua had served in times of great defeat, such as with Ai. Joshua had served in times of great victories, such as the fall of Jericho. And Joshua had served in times of great responsibility, such as dealing with the death that resulted from sin in the camp. Joshua served when things were good, and Joshua served when things were bad. How about us? I sometimes wonder which is worse. When things are bad, I'm on my knees praying. When things are good, I'm tempted to forget. But when things are bad, I'm complaining and grumbling. But when things are good, do I acknowledge that it's God, or do I forget? This is why we need each other. This is why it is not good for us to be alone. Today, who will you choose? Who will you serve? What about tomorrow? Part of fighting the good fight is making the choice every moment of every day. One thing is for sure, people, you will serve something. Your life is not a vacuum. You cannot sit on the fence. The fence is electric. You will serve something. Will it be God? Will it be you? Will it be something else? You will serve something. Choose you this day and every day whom you will serve. Your kingdom or his kingdom come. And when you choose each day, know also that there are consequences to your choice. There are consequences between you and God. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, then your future is secured in him beyond your death. If you here today have not chosen to accept Jesus and his death for you on the cross to save you, then you have chosen to go into death without his protection and are facing eternal separation and punishment. Whichever you choose, it has further consequences, not just for the future, but also for right now. Because there are consequences between you and others. If today and every day you say, "I will serve the Lord," you strengthen your brothers and sisters. If you serve the world and sin, you weaken them. Not only that, but those who have not chosen Jesus yet watch you and who you serve and judge God himself by your actions. And that is a responsibility which should make us consider what we do very, very carefully. Think carefully, not just who shall I serve or what shall I serve, but think carefully, what does it look like I'm serving? Because like it or not, as Christians, we are in a goldfish bowl and the world is watching. They will remember the one thing you do wrong and forget the 99 things you do right. Trust me, I'm a school teacher, I know. Joshua 24, 29-33. Fight for today. Fight for the future. Joshua's death, the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the elders who worked with him, who had seen what God had done. The studies of the great revival show that nearly all of them died within one generation. They did not manage to pass it on from one generation to the next. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are we fighting the good fight to show our current generation the glory of God? As we fight this good fight, are we looking to those who look to us? Are we looking to the children who are not the church of the future, I might add? They are the church of right now. Who rules in your house? Who is served in your house? And for those of us who have children, the goldfish bowl becomes even more scary because they watch everything you do and they learn from you. I confess that every bad habit my children have ever got has not come from their peers or from school. It has come from me. And that is a dread responsibility that I must step up to the mark for every day as I choose to serve my Lord. But if you think I'm painting a dark picture, well, yes, I am. Because we need to understand that Joshua was Joshua because of the God he served. We need to understand that he was changed because he spent time in God's presence. We need to understand that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because if we continue to try and fight this fight in our own strength, we will lose. When David took down Goliath, he came prepared through the lion and the bear. We heard this not long ago. If we wait for the fight to come to us, we will lose. If we prepare for the fight before we have to fight, if we come into the presence of God daily and enable him to strengthen us, then we can do nothing but win. If we stand in him, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. Let us not stand in our own strength, and let us not stand alone. Let us stand together as one. Choose you this day. Choose today. Choose to fight. How will you fight? What might stop you from fighting? What will you do now? Sunday school has it right, people. Read your Bible, pray every day. But when you read your Bible and pray every day, how do you read your Bible? How do you pray? I know from my own life, I can pick up the Bible and I can read it and walk away and remember nothing. I can pray my shopping list of God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, and walk away and forget what it was. We must go deeper than that. We must be like Joshua, and we must spend time in his presence asking him, show us what the scriptures mean. We must pray until we can pray. We must come into his presence and stay there and wrestle with God until he blesses us, as Jacob did. What will we do differently? Will we walk out of here today the same as when we came in, or will we go out with a resolve to do something that we have not done before? And if you are planning to do something today that you've never done before, if you are planning to make a change in your life, then let me suggest a step that will scare you. Tell someone else and get them to check up on you. Are you doing it? Have you made that change? If you really want to push yourself, add a punishment to it. I had a guy I knew in New Zealand, and he said to his youth group, if you ever catch me without my Bible, I'll give you $100 New Zealand. They caught him in the shower. He now goes to the shower with his Bible in a waterproof bag. Make it known to others. Let us stand together. If you're in a life group, share together. Strengthen each other. If you're not in a life group, well, do something about it. If there's no life group in your area, start one. Let us stand together. Let us move on. You see, the cross before me, the world behind me, are words. Words are easy, action is hard. But in Christ, we can do all things. If you get one thing from today, if I get one thing from today, let's get this one thing. Let's spend time with God. Both as individuals and together. Let's spend time with God. Here on Sunday, great, but it's not enough, is it? We need to do it more. As Joshua did, he spent time with God. He waited in the tent for Moses to come back, and when Moses came with the glory of the Lord, Joshua was there, waiting for the presence of God. I'm going to ask the music team to come up, and let's pray as they do. Dear God, we come before you today. We thank you for how far we have come. We thank you, Lord, that the journey has changed us. We thank you that we are not the same people we were a year ago. We thank you for the new strength that you have given us. But Lord, we know there is more. Help us to choose this day to serve the Lord, to put the cross before us, the world behind us. May we boldly claim that Christ is enough for us. Lord, be the strength in our weakness. Help our unity together to make us strong. We give our hearts into your hands. Make us what you want to make us. And above all, thank you for your love and your patience and your mercy and your grace that are new to us every day. You are an awesome God, and it is a joy to serve you. May we serve you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, in unity, in Jesus' name. Amen.